Welcome to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey, the podcast where we explore complexities, breakthroughs, and unfiltered realities of the lives as touched by autism. I'm your host, Ruth Castle, here to guide you through heartfelt stories, expert insights, and empowering conversations. Whether you're a parent or a sibling, an educator, or an advocate, this is your space to find community, ask the hard questions, and uncover new possibilities. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey. Today, we're going to be diving into an exciting and impactful topic, building community to support individuals with autism and other disabilities. I am joined here by Levina Ward, and she is the visionary behind Isaiah Village, a groundbreaking, innovative, dedicated to creating a safe, an inclusive, empowering space for individuals with special needs and their families. This episode, we're going to explore the mission behind Isaiah Village, the challenges of securing funding and resources, and how we, as a community, can help bring vision to life. So let's get started. Levina, thank you so much for joining me today on the show.
Yes, thank you for having us. Yes. So excited.
I'm excited to have you on the show. I'm excited for our listeners to learn more about Isaiah Village and the things behind the scenes and things that are coming up. It's so exciting to me. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
The inspiration behind Isaiah Village, and what led you to create this community, and what are your immediate goals as you are working to, you know, get the organization off the ground?
Well, Isaiah Village was inspired by my personal journey with my son. I have a 23-year-old diagnosed with autism. And as he grew, it was a challenge finding resources, finding people that understood, not feeling so isolated. You kind of feel like you're in survival mode and you become isolated. And then as he turned 18, we started seeing that it was even worse, and there's not a lot of resources out there for them. Mm-hmm. And also, he didn't have a place to go when we're no longer here, so I didn't know what would happen. So that's where the inspiration started. And then I saw a vision from the Lord that showed us a nice, serene environment, a place where people could live, play, and work, and be happy, and thrive. And so that was all of the vision behind Isaiah Village.
Absolutely love that, you know, and I think a lot of people, because my son's young, you know, for right now, he's only 7. And I do think that people don't think about the future a lot of times, especially when you're in the thick of it. You know, you're going to therapies here, you're going to therapies there, and you're learning, but that child's not going to stay a child forever.
Right. And I tell you, it happens a lot faster than you think. Like I said, I was in survival mode. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure it out. You know, like I said, he's 23, so resources were even less then than they are now. And so you just go day by day and you just keep thinking, well, I'll work on it later.
Yeah.
I'll work on that later. And then later comes.
Yeah. And it's hard.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's gotten easier. Let me rephrase that. It's not really gotten easier, right? There's more out there. But there's also more being diagnosed.
Right.
So there's more resources, but still the scarcity of it is still available. It's still out there because there's so many more need, much more need.
Yes. So there are more resources available, but still trying to find them is difficult.
Yes.
And yes, more resources, more people brings us the same problems.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, what you really are trying to fix right now. It's like, there isn't housing.
Right.
There, you know, for our children.
Right. And there's different levels, you know, like of housing and needs that our kids have as they grow into adults. And so you can't absolutely build something for every stage, but you have to start somewhere.
Yes.
And there are organizations that have done that, but they're very few and far in between. Mm-hmm. And it is not an easy process.
Yes.
They have made it a little difficult since they stopped doing institutions. They mm-hmm. want to make sure that people have choice, which yes. is absolutely great. But it also in that has limited us being able to
build. To do the resources as well. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people think that it's easy to start these programs and it's really not. It isn't because there's so many stipulations that come into that. And that's, you know, why we're here. This is why Isaiah Village exists now. So I just want to ask you, you know, like what are, you know, where are you at right now? What stage are you at in Isaiah Village?
Well, I would say we're still in the planning stage. And I would say that because our ultimate goal is a housing development built where people can live inclusively and safely and affordably. But in order to do that, it takes a lot of process. You need to get into the community and know people. And so our process now and where we're at, we are just trying to be in the community. We're doing gatherings with each other, support groups, just social gatherings. We've been giving food away to families with disabilities. And then while we're waiting and it's going to take so long, we decided to rent two apartments and see if we could begin some kind of a housing initiative to see if we could get them started on their own and then bring in mentors to help them along the way.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, that's really wonderful to be able to help the community as we're trying to build it. That way we show that we can do it.
Yes, it's a little mini step to, yes.
Yeah, like a mini blueprint.
Yes.
To the master plan. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love that. So what are your, you know, goals going forward? What are some of the goals that you have immediately that you're trying to put into effect?
Well, I think this year, especially, we are trying to bring all those little pieces that we've been doing with the community and bring them into all make it independence and housing in the end. So for example, we have the food giveaway once a month where we have families come and that we're in connection with and we give them food. But we don't want to just give away food. We want to give away an experience. So we want to give away a step to independence. So instead of just coming to get food, maybe we can do a class on cooking that food or a class on how to prep food or even the health of the food. So things like that along the way.
Yeah. And that will give, you know, more sustainability over long term.
Exactly.
You know, it's not just about the need in the moment, but also getting them to that independence that they need.
Right. And we work with families. So it's not only the adult with the need, but also sometimes it's the family that has a need and all different ages. Right. So just being able to take through the steps. So when we have a social event, instead of just sitting and socializing, it's great to have community because it takes a village.
Yes.
But also it needs to be structured to where we're doing something to help everybody understand the independence process. So like you, for example, having Elijah, and you're very aware that you need to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And thank God you're educated in what those are, but not everybody is.
Exactly.
And then just taking them through the steps of how to get ready for their process of adulthood. That's a big step getting there.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason, you know, how we met was through a support group.
Right.
That she also, it was at the disability center at that time, right?
Yeah.
And that's how we met. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love your initiative. This is, you know, something I thought about in the future, like what's going to happen. And I already knew that the resources are very slim currently. So if they're slim currently and it's 1 in 36, you know, being diagnosed, is it really going to be plausible when my son's 18? You know, so this is why it's so important what you do.
Thank you. You know, I was very excited about us meeting as well. Because I feel like the more people that can join together that have experience, have knowledge, or even have a familiar place in their home mm-hmm. where, you know, they've dealt with something like this and we all come together, it really helps grow things better.
Yes. And it's not camaraderie, you know, that we get together and, you know, we're not judged. We're in it together. We understand what other people are going through. We're there for one another. You know, and that's huge. And it's not just about the housing, the village piece, because everybody says, well, where's my village? Where, you know, I've heard that term a lot. We are the village.
That's it.
You know, we're creating the village.
It starts with us.
It starts with us. It starts with us being together being willing to be open and understanding and be in the moment with each other. And it doesn't matter what age group.
No.
Because autism doesn't have an age.
No, it doesn't end, you know? And so with the ages, yes, there's different stages, different things you need. Like, I'm not sitting here looking for resources on IEPs for my kid for school anymore. Now it's, you know, social groups and housing. So it does have different stages, but we still have the same, you and I both can relate to what we're going through.
Yeah.
Like, it's still a process. It's still hard to go through. It's still support that you need because other people don't get it.
They don't get it.
They don't get it.
Unless you're living the life that we live, you're not going to get it. And that's okay. You don't have to get it. You do need to be more understanding in it.
Yeah. It's a knowledge deficit, but it's not just with what we go through on a daily basis, but we have that all over the world, you know, on different subjects and things. But the more we can educate ourselves, the better it is for us all to live together.
Yeah. Well said. So challenges, you know, securing the funding and resources, what are the biggest obstacles facing and how can the community help?
Okay. Well, our biggest challenge really right now is funding, I would say, because it takes a lot to do this and it's going to be something that's going to continue. There is grant money out there, but it's not specifically for housing initiatives, and grant money is only like 10% of, you know, the different ways. We also need fundraising and we need donors. So that's a big thing. We need to have a significant investment to expand. So while we've been able to support a few individuals, we need significant investment to grow and move forward. Having volunteers is also a very big barrier. And that is because if you don't walk this life, a lot of times you don't understand the need for it. So that's a big one. Volunteers, not just to show up, but volunteers with experience, with knowledge, you know, ABA advocates or lawyers, attorneys, developers. We're trying to get a task force together mm-hmm. of people that we can all come together and be a big mastermind.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is a challenge, you know, to find those people sometimes, but that's where we're at. You know, we're still looking for those and they're out there.
Yes.
You know, the more that we put ourselves out there and the more that we show up, we will make those connections. You know, you've made a lot of great connections.
We have made a lot of great connections. I think that's where the volunteer part comes in. Also, I can make great connections, but following through with those, I can't do it all. And I wish I could. We have some really good volunteers now, but it takes a lot of people to make this work.
Yeah. It takes a lot for the village to exist. No pun intended, but we want to be the village people.
Yeah. And it has to be a volunteer basis. There is no funding for it this time. Most of our volunteers right now are parents.
All right. So how can the community, how can people get involved?
Sure. Well, advocate, you know, advocate for funding and policies that support the housing initiative with inclusive housing. Connect with us. We love donors, supporters, sponsors, and we need grants. Volunteer your time. Help with those events, the programs, any knowledge that you have that you can bring to the game. It's really the challenge of securing the resources and to meet the need.
And, you know, I think skill sets, you know, you would be looking for. So even if you're not local and you still want to maybe donate, and maybe you can't donate monetarily, you could maybe donate maybe your skill set. If you understand it, you know, understand like the reason behind what we're trying to do is to create this housing and to create this community. Because again, my child's 7. However, he's not going to be 7 forever. He's going to need something and we better start building it now.
Yeah, those skill sets are very important. Very important. We want to grow in other ways. You know, we need a lot of education pieces. And, you know, if we have people that have educational information and that would help our families, you know, even people like with the ABLE account. I know that's one organization that does a lot in the community with having people understand what that is and how big the need is. So somebody with a skill set that can educate, help us in any way is so important. It's so valuable.
Yes, it's very valuable. So now let's talk a little bit about the impacts of donations and support in how actual... Let me go into that. And how financial contributes directly impact the individual and their families that you already serve.
Okay. Well, every donation directly supports change in their lives. So, you know, we provide stable housing right now for three individuals. It would help funding in that. The food giveaways, the life skills training that we are in process of doing the life skills training and the affordable living spaces, the food giveaways. We offer special programs like food giveaways, life skills training, and community events. It can assist families in a crisis. Well, every donation directly changes lives. So any support that you give, you can actually tell us which area you would like it to go to, and we can use it in that area. Things like the stable housing that we have three individuals in right now, that program, building our life skills, the food giveaway, the community events, you know, we have recreational programs. So there's a lot of different areas, and those are the things that we're doing right now, and that's where your funding would go, directly to those families, and we get our operational expenses elsewhere. So this would benefit people every time you donate, and like I said, you can elect where those funds go if you'd like.
I love that, you know, like you said, you can elect where those funds go. So people know, like, oh, I want to support this, or I want to support that.
And we would be glad if there's somebody that wants to support a specific area, if they want to see what's happening with that funding or what's happening with that program, we'd love to share it.
Yeah.
One of the ways support can be used also is assisting families in crisis. We actually gained one of our residents in Isaiah Village because she came through a struggle. She was in a domestic issue and didn't have anywhere to go. She's now a single mom with a child with developmental disabilities. And that makes it even harder, because trying to work and deal with all of the therapies and things that are needed. With stable housing and a support network, they've now built friendships, gained independence, and are working towards their personal goals. And this is what your donations actually make possible. So we thank you for that.
That is wonderful, you know, that you were able to already get that housing piece, like we were talking about, going already.
Sure.
And to be such an impact, you know, to not only the adults on the spectrum, but to the families. Like you said, we don't only serve the adults on the spectrum. We serve the families, right?
That's correct.
So the mother doesn't have autism, but her son has disabilities.
Right. So we really serve the family that is affected by
right.
the developmental disability.
Yes.
Because it might not be the person directly.
Yes.
Somebody, yes.
And I love that. So you got to take a whole approach to it, because sometimes it's not just about the adult that's struggling. Sometimes it's the family that's struggling.
This is true.
And we all can relate to that. Trust me. So let's talk about current fundraising and partnership opportunities. And are there specific invites, you know, grants or sponsorships for businesses, individuals, and how can they get involved with you right now?
Well, sure. I mean, yearly we have an Arise Run 5K that we do with two other organizations, and we always take sponsorships and donation and would love people to participate. That's usually in February every year. So that one just passed. We have sponsorships for businesses. We're actually putting that up on our website right now with the different levels and how those businesses can benefit also from helping us. You can help out today by going on our website, Isaiah, ISAIAH, village.com, and go to give and donate. You could become a monthly donor and help us build long-term sustainability, or sponsor or participate in upcoming fundraising events. You could even sponsor a house if you wanted. If you have a home that you could rent, that's very hard to get people to rent for us, but we are insured and we take the liability. So that would be great as well. Share on social media and spread the word, because the more people that know, the more help we can gain.
Yeah, I think, you know, getting the visibility that you need to is definitely, you know, a hard factor as well. Just trying to get your voice out there, especially being a newer. You're not brand new to the game, but you are a newer organization.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So, you know, it makes it hard, but it's not impossible.
That's right. Nothing's impossible with God.
That is right. The Heavenly Father is on our side all the time. You got to do it through the power of prayer.
That's it.
The future vision for Isaiah Village. What are some of the first programs or services for your plan to be implemented? And where do you see Isaiah Village growing in the next 5 to 10 years?
Okay, well, we talked about some of the programs that we have now. As far as services, we are also a Medicaid waiver agency that can provide some services through APD as well right now. In about 5 to 10 years, I would say we're going to have our Isaiah Village developed. It would hopefully, we will have the next 5 to 10 years, we will be fully developed independent living community. It would have a live, work, play environment where people can thrive and grow. It would have a self-sustaining model where we were supported by donations and grants and revenue generating services so that we can, you know, sustain ourselves. We want to be a leader in the housing solution. We want to be able to help others do the same thing that we're doing. So gaining that experience and being able to move it forward. We're going to have structured independent living programs with personalized support, employment partnerships to create job opportunities, and we want to expand our social and life skills programs. We want to build strong community connections. So our goal is to create a place where individuals thrive, not just survive, where they can build friendships, gain independence, and have a real sense of home.
So I love that. I love that you're taking not only, you know, it's about housing, da, da, da. No, it's a whole, you know, holistic approach, because it's not just about having a home. Yes. It's not about having a roof over their head. It's about, because as a parent, when you think about it, when you're gone, you would want, if you had a neurotypical child, you would want them to experience everything that we just said. Isaiah Village is doing that for our children that the world just really writes off.
Yes. They're not just written off, but invisible. Invisible to so many. You know, we get those comments like, well, they just need to work. Your son's 23, he just needs to get a job. Well, it's not that easy. And people can't see it because the outside appearance looks just like everybody else. But the struggle is inside. And it's only a struggle because the outer world doesn't accept it.
Exactly.
Because of the way they expect people to be. So that's the difference there.
Yeah. Because autism doesn't have a look. Mm-hmm. You know? So they treat them, especially when they get older too, they treat them as if they're neurotypical.
That's true. And, you know, we talk about autism a lot today. And I want to make sure you know it's not just about autism. It's just Ruth and I have that in common because both of our children have that diagnosis. But developmental disabilities go further than that.
Yes.
Cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, intellectual disabilities, and things like that. So we're not excluding anybody. We're just on a path the same. So that's why it comes out so much with us.
Yeah. And I love that you brought that up because I also, you know, and that's the name in my podcast is Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey. Mm-hmm. But there's so many things that go along with autism too, meaning like you have other people who have seizures with autism. People also can have Down syndrome and have autism, you know, and that's just the world I'm living in is the more of the autism. And that's what we have a commonality. And that's why I've said it so much in this. But it's true. The special needs community at large are overlooked quite a bit. And it can just be infuriating at times when you hear some of the stories. And, you know, I've witnessed some of the experiences from other parents too that they've experienced. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But that's why we have the Village now. This is why it's so important for us to be together, because we need one another. And sometimes it's not autism. I have some, we have people in common that we know that don't have autism, but their struggles are just as hard as, you know, ours with autism.
Right. It's the resources, the acceptance, the understanding, the stressors, all of those things are very common.
Yes.
Not the diagnosis itself. You know,
but the stressors, not being accepted, like you said, the resources, it's endless. It's tiring.
It is.
It's tiring for a caregiver because you got to wear so many hats.
Yes. And we have a lot of learning to do as parents, because a regular typical parent, you know, have no booklet when your child is born. Well, neither do we, but we have a lot more to learn about our children. The more we learn, the more we can help them.
Yeah. And I think sometimes too, like I can only speak because I'm only have one child. But when you have more than one child, I believe it would be harder because you're not only just learning about the one child, you're learning about the others and how the dynamic of everybody goes.
I've heard others say the same thing I'm about to say, but in our family, we have three daughters, and my son is the youngest, and they always just thought he was spoiled. They thought he got the most attention because he did get the most attention because he needed it, not because they were less.
Yeah.
So it makes it difficult for the siblings.
And you know, that's why in later episodes I want to have those round tables and I want to have siblings on because their perspective would love to hear that. Because I don't think their voices are heard.
No.
Like I said, I don't have that experience, you know, for myself. Maybe not yet. But again, their voices need to be heard.
That's
and
right.
it is part of the journey that they've experienced because everybody's life, whether it's autism or any other disability, it's been every family member is touched by it in some way, shape, or form.
Yes. Yes, very much.
Levina, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
Well, there's a lot to learn, and we'd love you to visit our website. But also, we can't do this alone. We need champions, people who are ready to make a difference, give individuals with developmental disabilities a future that they deserve. You know, just imagine a world where everybody belongs and has a home and a community that embraces them. Just let's build it together. Be the change with us. Join us. Be a champion. I wanted to bring up a song that I often think about by Matthew West. I believe the name of the song is Do Something, and it makes me cry every time I think about it. So in the song, it's describing how the person singing it is upset with the Lord because he's tired of watching poverty and seeing all of this horrible stuff that's happening in our world. And he's shaking his fist to heaven and saying, Do something. And he's telling God, Do something. And God says, I did. I created you. So we are the ones that make the change. Sorry.
It's okay.
So without us, there isn't anything. You know, God works through us, and let's be the hands and feet. Thank you.
I love that. It's emotional. It's true, though, because he did create us. He created us. He brought us together. We are to be the change. We are to make it happen.
Right.
And, you know, getting it out there, letting it know that we need the help, we need the change, makes the difference.
Yes.
Isaiah Village is more than just a project. It is a movement towards creating a better future for the individuals with disabilities. If you are inspired by this vision and want to be a part of something life-changing, here is how you can help. You can donate or sponsor a program. Every contribution brings us a step closer to making Isaiah Village a reality. You can visit isaiahvillage.com to give today. Whether you're a therapist, an educator, or just someone passionate about inclusion, there is a role for you. Spread the word. Share this episode, tell a friend, or connect with us on social media to amplify this message. Want to learn more? Visit isaiahvillage.com. You can also follow them on their many social media handles, such as Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Levina, again, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really enjoyed our conversation. I'm glad that we're getting, you know, what you're needing out there.
Yes, thank you. It was a pleasure. It really was. It's always nice to do things together.
Yes. I love working with you. Thank you for tuning in today episode for finding your identity in your autism journey. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, take care. And don't forget, it takes a village. Today's episode is brought to you by LegalShield. Because peace of mind starts with being prepared. As a parent and an advocate, I know how important it is to have access to legal support, especially when navigating the challenges of autism advocacy. With LegalShield, you'll have 24/7 access to a dependable network of attorneys for advice on every IEP meeting and school accommodation to understand your rights as a caregiver.
also those transitional times for guardianship and other legal matters, such as trust, wills, and other things. It is affordable and easy to use and designed to give you the tools needed to confidently face life legal challenges. Whether you are dealing with contracts, legal documents, or simply just need advice, Legal Shield is here to help. Protect your family. Advocate for your loved ones. Handle life's curveballs with confidence. Visit the link in the show notes below to learn more how to sign up today. Legal Shield empowers families one step at a time. Thank you for tuning in to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey. I hope today's episode inspired you, brought you some clarity, or simply reminding that you are not alone. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and if you enjoyed this conversation, leave a review and share it with someone who might need it. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your voice matters, and together we can navigate this journey one step at a time.